Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overdoon, the minister of the Calvary Free Reformed Church.
Dear friends, have you ever listened to a speaker or preacher who included a long pause of silence in his speech or sermon? I begin this message asking that question because when we think about Jesus' sufferings as Savior and of Him as suffering Savior, there is something very striking that happened. I'm speaking of Jesus' silence in His sufferings. The Bible mentions it quite often and wants us clearly to pay attention also to this gospel fact in and with Jesus' suffering. Just listen to the various texts telling us about it, about Jesus' silence. In Mark 14:60, Jesus, before the Jewish court of the Sanhedrin, is asked, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" And then we read in verse 61, "But he, Jesus, held his peace and answered nothing." Then in chapter 15, before Pilate, we read in verses 3 to 5, "And the chief priests accused him," Jesus, "of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing." So that Pilate marveled, or was just so amazed. We read too in Luke's gospel account, chapter 23, verse 9, when Jesus was before Herod, quote, "Then he," Herod, "questioned with him," with Jesus, "in many words, but he," Jesus, "answered him nothing." Let us think more about this, the silence of Jesus. The theme for the sermon is Jesus' holy silence, speaking volumes. Jesus' holy silence, speaking volumes. Yes, still today, if we only have ears to hear. Will you listen carefully with me as we consider how it speaks of a great fact and wonder and message and warning and example? These will be our main points. Now, Jesus' silence speaks of a great fact and wonder and message and warning and example. Jesus' holy silence, speaking volumes. For one, because it reveals to us a great gospel fact. Jesus being silent in His trials is yet another sure evidence that Jesus is the promised Messiah, one and only Savior of sinners. If there is a Jew listening now, still thinking the Messiah has to come, see here the evidence to the contrary. And the gospel truth that the Messiah has come, and His name is Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the crucified and risen Savior. You know why we can say that with all confidence and boldness? Because in the Old Testament, in different places, this was foretold about the coming Messiah, that He would, at very significant moments, be awesomely silent and not speak a word. One such well-known verse is Isaiah 53, verse 7. Do you know that verse? That prophecy of the long-promised Messiah? We read there, "He was oppressed, and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, or silent, or mute, so He opens not His mouth." Oh, no one can argue that our text from the gospel accounts telling of Jesus' striking silence when being tried before the Sanhedrin and before Pilate and before Herod, His silence is another fulfillment of prophecy about the coming Messiah. Let not only the Jews, but all people in all the world observe this fact and believe in Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. In both Psalm 38 and 39 as well, there's reference made to this silence that ultimately would be shown by Jesus, the great Son of David. The point is, Jesus' silence in His sufferings and with His trials was foretold. And Jesus' holy silence speaks volumes still today, confirming He was and is the promised Messiah indeed. With Jesus' ongoing silence, not answering a word to all the false accusations and wicked mistreatment of Him, all the while He was showing His true identity as the promised servant of the Lord and Messiah King indeed. But the people did not have eyes to see it. Do you have eyes to see it? Here let us move to the next point about the great wonder of Jesus' silence. Imagine having one after the other come up and speak lie after lie about you, things completely untrue and exactly opposite all the facts, and yet not responding with a single word. That is almost humanly impossible, we would say. Oh, what holy restraint on the part of Jesus as a man, in all things like us, sin excepted. To see this wonder more of His silence, try to imagine it, if you can, in connection with all Jesus suffered and endured. Repeatedly, false accusations were hurled against Jesus, and steadfastly, Jesus never answered a word. In the original, with the Greek in both cases, the verb tense expressing ongoing action is used to highlight this matter. But He, Jesus, answered nothing. It's a repeated refrain. Think of it, yes, also when they put the heat on Jesus more and began to spit on Him and to strike Him and to mock Him and to make fun of Him. But He answered nothing. Jesus said nothing either when Pilate wrongly suggested a choice between the release of a terrorist, law-breaking criminal Barabbas, or of neighborly, law-keeping Jesus. Putting the two on the same level, so to speak, Jesus answered nothing. Jesus answered nothing when the people, riled up by the Jewish leaders, all shouted, "Release Barabbas to us, and away with this Jesus. Let Him be crucified." He answered nothing. Jesus answered nothing either when the soldiers mockingly and scoffingly made a crown of thorns for Jesus and cruelly beat it down on His head, cutting into His skull with its thorns. When Pilate confessed several times, "I find no fault in the man," and still decides to have Jesus scourged with that terrible Roman scourging, Jesus answered nothing. And when Pilate presents Jesus to the crowds, battered, bruised, and bleeding, with that crown of thorns on Jesus' head, and Pilate says, "Behold the man," and all the people respond, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" Jesus says nothing. And when Pilate caves in and says, "Okay, if that's what you want, let Him be crucified," when that crucifixion is planned, and Jesus gets crucified with two well-known criminals, thieves and murderers of the day, and in fact is set in the middle between them, as if He was the worst of them all, Jesus says nothing. He says nothing, numbered with the transgressors and counted as one of them, chief of them even. He says nothing. And think of it when hanging on the cruel cross and suffering intense agony in body and soul, crucified with those nails through His hands and feet on that cursed tree, and the people came by, wagging their heads and mocking Him further. Jesus still remained silent and opened not His mouth. We read in Mark 15, verse 29 and following, "And they that passed by railed on Him," that is, blasphemed and mocked Him, wagging their heads, like we might taunt someone, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save Thyself and come down from the cross." But to this all, Jesus answered nothing. Likewise, we read in Matthew 27, verse 41 and following, "Also the chief priests, mocking Him with the scribes and elders, said," and we may presume they did so in Jesus' hearing, "He saved others, Himself He cannot save. If He be the King of Israel, let Him now come down from the cross, and we will believe Him. He trusted in God. Let Him deliver Him now, if He will have Him. For He said, 'I am the Son of God.'" to this all, Jesus responded with not a word. He held his peace and answered nothing. Also when the thieves who were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth, in other words, hurled the same cruel insults and unfair barbs to his face, yet Jesus answered nothing. If any of us, you or I, have only one critical remark spoken against us, often we can be very quick to fire back, can't we? But Jesus never answered a word to the flood of false accusations and brutal, cruel hostilities wrongly and meanly heaped against him. Do you see the wonder of this? Jesus held his peace with it all, and time and again answered nothing. None of us can hardly stand it if just a joke is spoken at our expense, or when something negative is said about ourselves, and we do what we can to set things straight and to get back at those who hurt us in any way. But Jesus, who in his case was always perfectly faultless, something never true of ourselves, yet he remained silent and answered nothing. I read that sheep, when shorn, are indeed amazingly quiet. And behold, Jesus now, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb or silent, so he openeth not his mouth. Will you stop and wonder with me at this truth about Jesus? If we see it rightly, Jesus' silence under his trials is as magnificent and something even more wonderful than when God, by the word of his mouth, created the whole universe. Shall we worship God, considering Jesus remaining awesomely silent during all his trials and sufferings, when falsely accused and wickedly mistreated, even to the death of the cross? Oh, Jesus spoke a few words here and there, we know, but all his words spoken during his trials and with his crucifixion were never in self-defense against the charges and criminal acts against him, but only always in ministry to others. Just think, for instance, of Jesus' 7 sayings on the cross in the 6 long hours that he hung thereon. Oh, I say, if Pilate marveled greatly, according to Matthew 27, verse 14, at Jesus constantly holding his peace and remaining silent and answered nothing, should not you and I do the same? There are so many things we can marvel at and wonder about in our times, isn't it true? How many are the great accomplishments of sports stars and music stars and movie stars, and what inventions of mankind to wonder and marvel at in our modern multi-digital computer and internet age? There's so much that we can marvel at with technology today. And isn't there so much to marvel at too in the whole realm of creation and this universe? And so much more we can see it and observe it and study it with today's equipment and technology. So many marvelous wonders to think about and explore and reflect on. But dear friends, can any wonder compare to this? Jesus holding his peace and remaining silent when all hell, so to speak, was unleashed upon him by wicked mankind and evil Satan, and when the equivalent of God's just and holy everlasting wrath against sin was heaped upon Jesus, the sinless one, the Lamb without any blemish at all, infinitely spotless and pure in every way. Oh, Jesus' silence, not answering a word to all the charges brought against him, is a matter of endless worship, really? God forgive us that we can so often wonder and marvel at so many lesser things and hardly pay attention to what is among the greatest of wonders and marvels in all the history of this whole world. Yes, for you understand with me, don't you? Jesus' holy silence actually speaks volumes of gospel truth back then and also still today. Here we come to our third main point, considering the message with Jesus' silence. What is the message, the gospel message from this, from Jesus' awesome silence during his trials and crucifixion? Do you know? Isn't it clearly this, that Jesus' silence declares to us his willingness to take the role given to him by the Father and for which he was anointed and equipped by the Holy Spirit? namely as mediator and Messiah, to suffer and die as Savior of sinners, as a just for the unjust. With Jesus' steadfast silence and answering not a word, with all the insults and assaults heaped against him, Jesus was and is saying, I'm stepping up to the plate as substitute for sinners and as the only God-given Savior of sinners. I will suffer and die in the sinner's place and pay the full righteous punishment for sin, even as I offer to God on sinner's behalf a perfect and sinless life. In other words, dear friends, when Jesus held his peace, when condemned to be crucified and numbered among the transgressors in his crucifixion, he was submitting to all the salvation work given him to do. By remaining silent all the while, Jesus shows himself as voluntarily, wholeheartedly, with infinite love and care towards God and towards sinners, laying down his life for his sheep. If Jesus had not remained silent as he did, and continually answered nothing, if he had not done that, no one of us could ever be saved. If Jesus would only just once have stood up and demanded his own rights and said, come on now, that is enough. Abuse, enough, false accusation. Let me set you straight and tell it like it really is, you liars and false witnesses, you wicked scoundrels and evil hypocrites. Oh, if Jesus only would have done that once, we all would be without hope of forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. Jesus remaining silent and answering nothing all the time, you see, was him declaring consciously and conscientiously every second of his trials and crucifixion, I have come to be Savior of sinners and perfect, complete Savior of sinners I will give myself to be till my last breath. So he held his peace and answered nothing to all the charges heaped against him. Jesus' ongoing silence speaks volumes of his desire to be complete, gracious and glorious Savior of sinners, even for wretched, vile, undeserving, only hell-deserving sinners like you and like me. Jesus' awesome silence expresses his righteous and gracious self-control, and keeping before him always his goal to be perfect, all-sufficient Savior of sinners like us. As Paul so jubilantly declares in 2 Corinthians 5 about Jesus as God-sent Savior, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Do you understand how Jesus' holy silence speaks volumes of gospel tidings still today? Behold Christ Jesus, who so willingly and steadfastly and totally gave his life as sin-atoning sacrifice on behalf of sinners. Should not the ongoing silence of Jesus melt our hearts in view of him and draw us to him in true repentance for sin and faith in him and hearty adoration of God Triune? Jesus' silence in his sufferings proclaims to us, rather than have sinners like us perish, he would take all the abuse heaped upon him and suffer the crucifixion and the eternal torrents of hell in body and soul on sinners' behalf, sooner than speak one word of self-defense for himself. Oh, isn't this just so amazing? If we only stop to consider it, just Jesus' silence in his trials gives reason for eternal praise to him by all his people. Never mind all his gracious words of ministry and love that he did speak in his sufferings. Yes, even from the cross. Truly it is mind-boggling and heart-overwhelming what a precious, complete, self-sacrificing Savior of sinners Jesus Christ truly is and remains. The aim of this sermon is to have us humble ourselves and to worship the Triune God of our salvation as revealed in Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior of sinners. Are you drawn to him, whom to know is life eternal? Will you be endlessly thankful to the Lord Jesus also for his awesome silence as suffering Savior of sinners? What if you should be someone who just doesn't care about this truth concerning Jesus? Maybe your mind and heart is so filled with the wonders of this world and the pleasures of this life and your own ways, and you care not to think on Jesus and Him crucified. Certainly not on Jesus' silence in His trials and suffering. Oh, but then listen still, please, to our fourth point, and that is the warning with Jesus' silence. We all know when someone stays silent before us, that can be very unnerving. It can become very uncomfortable when you want to communicate with someone else, and you actually talk with someone else, and you ask questions even, but the person just doesn't say a word in response. How disturbing that can become. But speaking of this, we need to realize from our text, there was something most fearfully just and right in the Lord not answering the chief priests or Pilate or Herod, as they continued in their unbelieving and self-serving ways in mockery towards Jesus. Jesus' silence to them was not something done bitterly against them. No, but it was something justly deserved by them. And imagine this, if you can. God triune, never more communicating with you as rebellious, unbelieving sinner. Is that what you want? Won't that be hell, literally? In hell, never ever will God speak a word of ministry. But there will only be just everlasting silence from Him. No loving and living communication from the Lord our Maker and only Savior ever again. That amounts to hell. It will be unbearable. And yet, once in hell, that remains forever the case. With no chance of a change, never ever again. If you won't hear God's word as given to us and the gospel of Jesus Christ as made known to you, and you keep pushing it aside, one day suddenly God's callings to you will be over and never ever be revived again. Don't you think that will be something most fearful and dreadful indeed? Here I think especially of Luke telling us before Herod how Jesus answered that wicked party person, that playboy Herod, the same one who also had killed John the Baptist earlier, how Jesus answered him, not a word. See this man, Herod, before the King of Kings, Jesus, and here Herod peppering Jesus with question after question. But Jesus answered him nothing. Oh, what a haunting silence. What an awful, disturbing silence. What a terrifying, unnerving silence. The judgment of all unbelieving and unconverted people will be that in hell there will be no God to call upon for His mercy and help. He will not answer your cries and pleas then. No, He will not. Justly so, for all eternity. The call of the gospel, the urgent call you see, is to take heed to the gospel tidings now, and to repent of sin, and to trust and obey the Savior King. While in this life, we are called to be converted, and to turn away from this world and its evil, godless ways, and to seek and serve the Lord while He is near, while it is yet the day of grace. Will any one of you, dear friends, really not take seriously this warning note also with Jesus' silence before His tormentors? For all God's people, through Jesus' silence in His trials and crucifixion, trusting and relying on Him, we may know now all the love of God and goodness of God to you may be communicated to us and will be communicated to us already here in part and in life eternal in fullness forevermore. And who can measure the worth of and comfort of having God always for us and always ready to hear us and to help us in our needs for body and soul for Jesus' sake, and to communicate with us in ministry to us? And what about being forever by God's grace as His people, the recipients of God's love and care and wisdom and knowledge communicated to us from God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit? Jesus, Savior of sinners, experienced a terrifying, wrathful silence even of God His Father towards Himself as sin-bearer, that all His people might know and enjoy the terrific, warm-hearted communication of God triune forevermore without interruption. Oh, that will be heaven, and that will be wonderful beyond words to describe. And this is what those who take seriously also the warning note with Jesus' silence and plea to Jesus now may know. And God's people may know, and God's people also have a calling while yet in this life as confessing believers. And we see that in our last point from Jesus' silence in His trials and with His crucifixion. And this fifth point to be learned from Jesus' silence is one given to us in Scripture itself. Peter gives it to us in 1 Peter 2, verse 19 and following. You know what he says there? This is thankworthy, he writes. In other words, really living out the Christian faith in praise to God and for the good of others. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Peter is saying here, let us not be so quick to stand up for our rights, but where and when we can, for the gospel's sake, let us be willing to suffer wrongfully or self-sacrificingly. For even here unto ye were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow His steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judges righteously. There's so much in these verses, but let me just stress, Peter emphasizing here, we need to follow Christ's example of being willing to suffer wrong for the greater good. Christ's meek and lowly spirit serves as our example, Peter says, speaking to confessing believers who were persecuted and unjustly dealt with often. We should be so different from the entitlement age we live in. If this Christ-like virtue of being willing to sacrifice our own rights and demands were found much more present in our marriage relationship, in our family life, and church life, and work and school life, what a transforming effect and impact that would have. Well, doesn't this convict us all how much we still can and should learn just from Jesus' silence in His trials as crucifixion long ago? Jesus' holy silence speaking volumes. Does it speak volumes of gospel truth into your life here and now too? Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the Internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.